Today on Real Radio.
Why should a Christian care? We are in the midst of a political season, and it is going to get very hot and very heavy as things get underway or as they approach the big day.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack steps aside from his series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You know, there's an upcoming election, and we're going to be hearing a whole lot about it in the next couple of days. And with that, we've got a special and very timely presentation. Now, of course, we as believers, we should not only enjoy and exercise our rights and freedoms, but also our Judeo-Christian worldview is really supposed to be our guide when making decisions. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a message called Politics. Why should the Christian care?
You would say tonight, I can't believe I'm hearing the word politics in a church. I was brought up not to mix religion and politics. Then you grew up in a very boring home. If you can't mix religion and politics, then listen, what does politics mix with? What does religion mix with? Are you saying that you can't mix things? Listen, I come from a worldview background because I've read my Bible a whole lot, that everything is to be mixed with my biblical religion, that is my faith in Christ. Everything. There's nothing segregated from my biblical worldview. And I'm going to challenge you that right now as we get into this, and I'm going to want you to be thinking, because we are looking at the worldview series topic of politics, but specifically tonight, why should a Christian care? We are in the midst of a political season, and it is going to get very hot and very heavy as things get underway or as they approach the big day. Acts chapter 17, grab your Bibles and turn there if you would, and we'll use this, Paul's visit to Athens, as we have been in our series, to launch us into this topic. As you're turning there, Acts 17, we'll be talking tonight about leadership, about politics, obviously, government. A lot of people don't realize government is created by God. God invented government. We'll be looking at and challenging our worldview. This has to do with apologetics. And ultimately, in our lives as Christians, righteousness. How do we live? Really matters. In Acts chapter 17, look at verse 28. Paul says to the Athenians regarding this God who is unknown to the Greeks, that he is in fact the one, for in him we live and move and have our being. That this God of the Bible is the all-powerful God. He is the all-knowing God. He is the God that is very intimately involved in our lives. He's aware of everything, our thoughts, our motives. He is God, and there is no other God according to the Bible, that he is the one true and sole living God. And as we live and move and have our very existence in him, Paul makes that argument. It's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul's argument was simply this to them, that there's no place on earth that they could go, that is the Greeks, where God was not at. And I want to grab that and take it into your thinking tonight. Is there, church, listen, is there anywhere that you can go where God is not at? Do you really believe that? If God is God, and he is, and if he's everywhere, as Paul was telling the Athenians there, and if you're a Christian tonight, then listen, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that means wherever you go, he is. And oh, by the way, read the fine print, wherever you show up, he's already been. That if we go where we go, is not God interested in that place where we go? Absolutely yes. So then where as Christians are we not to take our Christianity? Where are we as Christians not to speak in the name of Jesus? Where are we as Christians not to be a witness? Everywhere, there is no place where we are exempt from being Christians. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. We are Christians 24/7, 365. And for us to think for a moment that I'm a Christian, but when it comes to my job, I'm not a Christian, that would make you a profound hypocrite. I'm a Christian, but when I go and do this, then I'm not a Christian. You're living a lie, according to 1 John. I'm a Christian, but when I vote, I don't vote the things that concern God. Then you are missing the very purpose of your biblical worldview, of having the Bible dictate in our lives all these things. Proverbs 29, verse 2, church, jot it down. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And you need to underline the word authority. In power over the people. When good people are in power, the people are happy about that. But when wicked men rule, people groan. Jesus Christ gave you and I, the Christian, a cultural mandate as believers. Because tonight, our culture would have us, listen, right now, our culture would speak into this sanctuary tonight and say, Christians, you can do anything you want in that room that you're in right now. You can do anything you want. Just don't take it outside the walls of this building. Do not take your Christian belief into the culture. And the Bible says the exact opposite. And you're going to need to make a decision tonight about where Jesus Christ is to be Lord in your life. And if you're really smart, you will understand very quickly, Jesus Christ is Lord all the time, everywhere in my life. Right, in my opinion, there's no other type of Christianity. But Jesus Christ, I believe, as we'll see tonight, gave us a mandate to reach our culture. With the gospel number one, will you jot that down? The number one thing that you and I are to be doing, every believer, is to let the world know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and their sins, for the sins of the world. And the Bible says that he rose again from the grave for our justification. Jesus died, but thank God he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the grave and empowered what he did at the cross so that you and I in the 21st century tonight can experience salvation by putting our faith into his finished work. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but what? He washed it as white as snow. Our Jesus. And Matthew 5:13, look in your Bibles, look on the screen, mark it down, is a mandate regarding our involvement in our culture, that we are public Christians, not private believers. Matthew 5:13, Jesus said to us, you are the salt of the earth. Salt used for purification, salt used for preservation, salt used for healing. But if the salt loses its flavor or its sting or its taste, how shall it be seasoned or reseasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. Listen, keep the verse up on the screens. Listen to that. You are the light of the what? World. That means the world is to see your light. And listen, you don't have to answer. Just let it provoke your thinking. In the world, your light is to shine. Then where is your light to be shining but the world? Well, we don't talk about these things in the church I attend. Or we don't talk about these things where I live. We leave God out of these things, not according to Jesus. Let's keep going. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Why? Why would they do that? Because, look, it gives light to all who are in the house. Listen to this command. Let your light so shine before men. The word implies all men. Saved and unsaved, Christian, non-Christian, all mankind, that they may see your good works, you ought to circle those two words, good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is an amazing statement. There's going to come a day when the world, in that moment of standing before God, will somehow give glory to God. I don't know how it's going to happen, but they're going to give glory to God somehow by your godly witness in that day. They may not appreciate us now, but there's going to be a day because of the reality of your Christianity, that you really lived it out, that they will be giving honor to God. Point number one tonight in our arguments, and I say arguments lovingly, we are presenting these. Our biblical worldview on politics as Christians as we approach this election season. The question is tonight, why should the Christian care? For this number one reason. First, because we have a responsibility to God. Will you write that down? We have a responsibility to God. You've all heard this saying, and I'll read it. Don't be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. You ever heard that before? How many of you heard that before? Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Listen, I personally do not think that that's the church's problem tonight. Oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Translation, your head's in the clouds all the time and your faith really doesn't make any difference. You're so praising God and so in touch with heaven that you're in some sort of a fog bank here on earth. I don't think that's the situation. I think, listen, that far too many believers today, far too many churches, far too many pastors, far too many Christian leaders are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. It's all about how big the church can get. It's all about how much money can come in. It's all about how big this splash we can make. It's all about this, that. It's how cool and how hip the church can be. It's how, you know, we've got a movement going, but nothing over time seems to come out of it. Cultures don't change. And what kind of Christianity is that? It looks good. A shooting star looks awesome. It looks fantastic. It looks spectacular. But it doesn't affect anything. And it's for a moment. No, I think the challenge tonight is if we're going to be real Christians, that we should be so in touch with heaven, receiving from God the heartbeat of God, the things that concern God, and those things that concern God will be right here on earth in our culture. We will be heavenly minded and we will be earthly good. So as we consider this, we have a responsibility to God. Listen, the Christian is to be a public witness in this world, everywhere, at all times. And I want to show you guys a slide or a bit of news that just came out tonight or today. And this is one of the things I want to talk about. Some black pastors are telling their flocks to stay home election day. And a worrisome sign for President Obama. These black clergy say there is no good presidential choice between a Mormon candidate and one who supports gay marriage. Listen to this. That pastor does not understand, as he tells other black pastors, if you stay home and you don't vote, do you know what kind of message you're actually sending on election day? You are actually voting for the very person that he's not trying to endorse. He's disappointed and disillusioned with Barack Obama's position and performance. He's a black pastor. He's sending a message to his president, our president, we're not voting for you. We're staying home. But listen, church, listen. If you decide to stay home, number one, you are not voicing your responsibility that God has given you, that you are to stand for righteousness. You are to make your voice be heard. That is an emotional decision against Scripture and against reason. No, it sends a message that we're not happy. It actually takes away from the vote. This is a very important thing. But listen, you might be sitting here tonight, or maybe you're watching right now on internet TV, and you're saying, I've decided not to vote. You cannot, are you a Christian? You can't decide that. You've got to be involved. That is a horrific manifestation of a fancied up form of apathy. Can't go there, can't do that. Listen, number one thing, I'll give you some motivation because it motivates me. There's a day coming in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, that is in this world, to be well-pleasing to God, to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's where every Christian will stand for judgment. Not the great white throne. You and I will stand before the Bema seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body. What did we do in this body of ours, in the time that we had, according to what he has done, whether good or bad? knowing. Therefore, the terror of the Lord, here it is, we persuade men. We are, as Christians, to persuade people. What's a fancy word for persuading? We are to offer up apologetic, apology, not sorry apology, apology as in the defense of an argument. An attorney gives an argument for his case, and he does it in an apologetic manner, not, I'm sorry, Your Honor. That's not what the word means. It's, Your Honor, here's the reason why I'm presenting my case. Here's the evidence. Here's the fact. I make my apologetic presentation. It is an argument. It is a presentation. We're going to do that. We as believers come from a long line, if you're wondering, of cultural impacting people. Let me name a few of them who have influenced their culture, listen, in the realm of politics / government. Because someone's going to tell you, well, you know what, that church or that pastor or that, you know, you Christian, you're too political, and I'm against being political. I take up issues that are biblical. And I, listen, over my dead body, will I allow politics to come and steal God-ordained topics and have them make it their own? It's not going to happen. No way. And hallelujah, someday government will answer to God. God will never answer to government. And on top of it, he's the inventor of government. It's one of the three great sacred institutions that God has established. Think of that. When someone wants to argue with you, you argue back and say, who invented government? So here's your examples. Men of God who encountered politically, in a governmental way, their cultures. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Daniel? Daniel saw no problem taking his faith into the public arena. What about Esther? Wow. What about Jeremiah? You know, I lift out Moses, but Moses, did Moses take his faith before the very ruler of the world, Pharaoh? Absolutely. What about Isaiah? Boy, Isaiah did that. What about this guy? He pulled no punches, this one. He walked right into the den of government and said, you're in trouble with God. John the Baptist. John the Baptist walked right into the governmental halls of power and said, you're sinning against God by having your brother's wife. Can you imagine? Even Paul the Apostle, I love this, Paul the Apostle used his political privilege to demand to the Roman Empire regarding his case of Christianity, I appeal to Caesar as a Roman citizen. And the law, listen, the law said any Roman who had a case could appeal to Caesar in Rome. And the Roman government would pay for your trip to argue your case. And Paul the Apostle, being a Christian, said, I want to make my case and I want to tell it to everybody. And so I'm in trouble right now for preaching the resurrection of the dead. Okay, well, here it is. I appeal to Caesar. I'm a Roman citizen. I want to go to Rome. I want to tell Caesar my case. And he did. He saw no difference of separation of church and state, which, by the way, does not exist. I challenge you. I invite you. Go find it, and I'll read it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead, listen, here's the reason why. Isn't this amazing? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Did you hear that? Everybody, you guys awake? You're so quiet. My goodness, you think we're talking about something controversial tonight? Look at that. Pray for the authorities over your life. What authorities? All authorities, governments, military, police, all of it. Judges, pray for them. Why should I pray for them? So that you and your family and your church and your community, everybody, non-Christians included, atheists, all kinds of people, Muslims and Mormons, can live a quiet and peaceable life. Did you know that right there is an awesome thing? You will never find that, listen up, you will never find that incredible religious tolerance in any other religion, in any other country, on the face of the earth, where Christianity teaches that if you're an absolute atheist, you should be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. Hallelujah. Even if you don't believe in God. You cannot find that freedom anywhere, and we'll hear more about that tonight. It is amazing to think. We don't kill non-believers. We don't kill cult members. We don't kill evolutionists. We don't kill those who disagree with our worldview. Try that somewhere else. It's pretty remarkable. We persuade men. We don't coerce them. We persuade, and I like that. You know, we've grown so weak in our culture that if you get in a debate with somebody, if people get, well, you hurt my feelings. When someone starts winning the argument, then the guy that's getting whipped because he's got a weak argument or doesn't know how to defend his argument then pulls the you hurt my feelings card. It's sad that we've gotten that fragile as a culture. But we are to persuade people with loving, beautiful, logical, reasonable arguments. And so listen, I can say this tonight because I is one, and that is Christian pastors are commanded to be the cultural watchmen to their society. And the Christians that God has placed under their watch are to mimic their pastors. Paul the Apostle said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now, what you want to do is make sure that your spiritual leaders are following Christ. If they're not following Jesus, then get out and find a safe place. That is important. But Paul said, "As I follow Christ, follow me." No minister is worth his weight in salt if he cannot say or show you by the way they speak or live, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If they can't say that, then it's time for you to find a new church. This is a big deal. The pulpits and the pastors of America's pulpits and Europe's pulpits should be alive. Why? Because we have a responsibility to God. We will answer to God in the end someday. In Acts chapter 20, verse 26, the Bible says, "Therefore, Paul said, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." All of it, everything that deals with life. And let me ask you something. If you're still not getting it tonight, do you understand that those who hold political power exercise their opinion, they're not supposed to, they're supposed to exercise your opinion over the will of the people. They're not to dictate to us. That's not the way this country is. Our leaders are supposed to listen to us and then do the will of the people. Today, we have judges overthrowing the will of the people. Why did they ever think they could do this? Because we gave them the green light because we never speak up.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Politics. Why should the Christian care? It's a solidly biblical look at how the believer's Judeo-Christian worldview really is to be our guide, both outside the voting booth and inside the voting booth. Again, the title of today's timely message, Politics, Why Should the Christian Care? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, if you'd like to hear this message again, just go to realradioactive.org and click where it says Today's Broadcast. You can listen online, download the MP3, or purchase today's edition of Real Radio. That's realradioactive.org, and click Today's Broadcast. Also remember our current offer, Pastor Jack's message, Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. It's a DVD version for your gift of any amount to this radio outreach. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.